I'm Hannah Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vestesen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast.
Our intros.
Shocking.
Well, Merry Christmas, you ho-ho-hos.
Merry Christmas, you ho-ho-ho. 2 days, two sleeps till Christmas. Or is it? Yeah, two sleeps.
But I'm in the festive spirit.
I'm
you
in
guys
the festive spirit.
I've never been so festive.
My Christmas elf hat. Hanako has her mulled wine.
Got me a glass of
Kath
mulled wine.
Kath is letting the team down, but you know what? She's brought...
I'm ginger.
She's ginger.
She's ginger. Famously Christmassy.
Very Christmassy.
Before we delve into the festivities, for those listeners who are joining us for the first time, we'd like to tell you who we are. So, the Fuckboy Podcast, we delve into some of the most iconic, reprehensible, and shaggable fuckboys and girls who grace our screens, novels, and history books and ask, why?
Why? Why indeed? And naturally, since it's Christmas, we had to do the most iconic, arguably the most iconic Christmas film of all time.
Definitely of the 21st century. It's the one that everyone tries to recreate.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, totally. True. Love Actually and The Holiday. Yeah. I think Love Actually pips The Holiday to the post.
Oh, definitely.
Although I do love that movie.
I love that film as well, but Love Actually just has the star power because obviously there's four stars heading The Holiday, but there's how many massive Hollywood celebs in Love Actually? How many Oscar winners?
Oh my God, so many. And you know, a multitude of British actors, which is so exciting.
It's giving us Harry Potter.
Isn't it?
That's why.
It truly is. Obviously, I have to ask, what are your guys' favourite Christmas films?
Carol. Always Carol.
Carol, of course. Carol and Happiest Season.
Yeah. Although Happiest Season is a bit sad.
It is sad, but I love it. Yeah. I love it.
We take the queer representation wherever the hell we can get it.
We do.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I just love Kristen Stewart in that movie. I think she's,
she's bloody
brilliant. What about you, Kath?
Yeah, I think The Holiday is the most classic. We play the soundtrack for The Holiday a lot. I love The Grinch.
Oh, nice. I love The Grinch.
I love The Grinch. I think I can do quite a good Cindy Lou Who.
You can.
Like, quite Grinchy. Quite who-like in my appearance.
I find The Grinch gives me the ick. So I've never actually seen it. Yeah, I've never seen it the whole way through because he makes me feel a bit icky inside.
He makes me feel sick. I couldn't eat dinner while watching the film.
So there are very few actors that make me angry, but Jim Carrey is one of them. There's something about him. He inspires rage in me, yeah.
I can see
that. So I can't be watching it.
Can I ask, off the back of the icks, because I think, Kath, were you there for this discussion? I feel like you were. Maybe you weren't. Anyway, we digress. Have you ever been given a present at Christmas from a partner or otherwise that's given you the ick? Because I think a really quick way to get the ick is to be given a really shit or thoughtless present.
So I haven't, but I've definitely given presents that may have made me realise that I have the ick.
Oh.
Because the presents have been so bad that I then realise I don't give a fuck about this person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I once gave my ex-boyfriend 3 pairs of socks from Uniqlo and some green tea for Christmas.
And you're like, I don't love you anymore.
And I was like, oh my God, this is like the manifestation of my lack of love for you.
That is also just like generic what to buy for any person who is a man.
Truly.
Yeah. Like generic man present, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not what
that's
you want
like
for your boyfriend.
A nice secret Santa at the workplace kind of gift.
Yeah. But green tea's even a bit, I don't know. It's not that nice. It's not that festive.
No, it's not even festive.
It's not festive at all.
It's green though.
Yeah,
it is green.
True.
I did once get a gift. I went past a jumper in a shop with my ex and I was like, oh, I absolutely love that jumper. And it was like bright orange, really fun.
Yeah.
And they got it for me in pink.
Oh,
what?
No.
What the
and
hell?
I was like, do you know me at all?
That's not what
is
I wanted.
Is that the one that you gave to your mum?
Yeah.
Yeah, your mum looks great in it though.
I'm Ginger.
Although I love red and pink.
I love a red and pink. Yes, me
too. One of my favourite combos.
Yeah, but this specific pink. Yeah, Hannah, you've seen it. It's very. It's a certain kind of pink.
Not for your complexion.
No.
Your complex. Your complexion.
And we did. We broke up days later.
That was the jumper that broke the camel's back.
But it did. It ended it all.
Yeah. And that is reasonable. Let it be said.
I know. Let it be said. I didn't realise I was quite so gift-oriented, but clearly I am. Yeah.
Well, it just feels like a slap in the face of someone not knowing you. Like, it's a really... It feels very shallow, but I think it can be a representation of being like, oh, you don't know me at all.
I have a really bad birthday present ick. It's not Christmas, but
we'll take
in
it.
Year seven.
This is technically Jesus's birthday, so he can relate.
Exactly. So year seven, my first ever boyfriend, his name was Tim. He went to a shop that my sister worked in called Party Party.
Party Party.
So good they named it twice. And he purchased some pink fluffy handcuffs from her.
No.
To give to me for my birthday.
That's inappropriate.
Year seven, guys. Year seven.
I'm in shock.
Your sister must have been like, Hannah, okay,
bought them off
mates.
My sister. And the worst part was, as soon as I opened them, they broke.
Oh no.
So he didn't even get you nice ones.
No. He got me the cheap
industrial
ones.
Industrial strength.
No.
Jesus. How very disappointing. Me.
I know, right?
Shame on him, Tim.
The bloody
from
cheek.
Your sister.
From my sister, year seven. I mean, we were literally in utero and he was buying me sex
utero.
Toys.
Utero.
So disturbing.
Oh my gosh.
Horrific.
Absolutely horrific.
So, well, I mean, yeah,
even,
big ick.
Even
still
bad...
obsessed with him though. Not now.
Still talking about still him. To this day I dream about him. Still have those handcuffs.
Well, I will say, love actually covers all bases because it even does cover a bad Christmas present debacle, doesn't it? Debacle?
Ooh.
Debacle?
Oh, this, gosh, that
this Christmas film has everything. That's why it is elite.
Mm-hmm. Should we jump straight into it?
I think we simply must because there are just so... I don't think we've ever had a film have this many fuckboys and fuckgirls in it.
Right?
Not... It covers every ground.
It covers
this is thrilling.
Everything.
It's thrilling. This is the stuff that dreams are made of, my friends.
Truly.
Oh, God. I just had so much fun researching and doing all the work for this episode.
Gosh, yeah. And there's just so many of them. We'll have to cover them all.
Yeah, okay. And so we shall.
Before we do...
Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed. But I don't see that. It seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. When the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far
rogue.
As I know,
rogue.
None of the phone rogue. Calls from the people rogue on board were messages of hate or revenge. They were all messages of love. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around.
That was a really good impression, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel like I've got his cadence down, just not his voice.
It.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So that was the infamous opening monologue of the hit Christmas romantic comedy film Love Actually, written and directed by Richard Curtis. Mm-hmm. The Yuletide film follows the lives of eight very different couples as they navigate their love lives in various loosely interrelated tales, all set during the frantic 5 weeks before Christmas in London, England. So Love Actually has got it all. It's got festive scenes of has-been rockers gagging for a comeback, love-smitten schoolboys, widowed fathers, philandering husbands, cuckolded writers, heartbroken wives, sexy secretaries, and of course the plight of a hopeless, lovesick prime minister. They all interweave to create a story awash with heartbreak, hilarity, and above all, love. Mm. So this hit film tracks 17 main characters.
So many celebs. That is so impressive.
Right, in less adept hands, it would be a recipe for disaster. And
yeah.
This is so true.
How you're invested.
Yeah, completely. He Richard Curtis and his amazing ensemble managed to create something truly spectacular and precise. Mm-hmm. And the generous servings of characters are all fully drawn, multi-dimensional people that we can all relate to. Heartbreak, betrayal, love, unrequited or otherwise, come in many shapes and forms. But what the creators of Love actually show us is that all of our stories are uniquely our own, but in the sharing of them, we are not alone.
Christmas, eh?
Coming in at just under 2.5 hours, Love Actually is a masterful feature film feat. It'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, it'll make you want to go to Wisconsin. It will leave you feeling like love really is all around. But gals, did you know that fuckboys are all around too?
Oh, they are, especially in this film.
Even at Christmas, we can't catch a bloody break. And we three queens are here to take down some of the naughty boys and girls who are not making our list this year. So, to kick us off, I thought we'd take a look at Dear David, aka Prime Minister, aka Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
Huey boy.
Hugh knew he was such a fuck boy.
David is the new Prime Minister of Great Britain. Running the country is going to require focus, discipline, and all of David's attention. But as soon as he walks through the door at number 10 Downing Street, his attention is immediately swerved by a new, beautiful household staff member called Natalie, played by the wonderful Martine McCutcheon. Their meet cute would make the old guy from The Holiday jump for joy, ladies.
Yeah, their meet cute is perfect.
Isn't it?
So well written.
So perfect. So good.
The workplace attraction fills the PM with guilt and drives him to redistribute her. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to his first fuckboy move. So, number one, the setting is the meet cute. The offence, boob ogling.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So when Dear David meets Natalie for the first time, their conversation lasts less than 30 seconds. Girls, can you hazard a guess at how many times David looks at Natalie's breasts in this short time together? Is it one? No.
No.
Is it two?
God, no. No.
Is it three?
Bloody Nora.
No.
Is it four?
No.
Is it five?
Oh, Christ.
I'm going to guess seven.
No, it's six.
Oh.
Six.
Fuck's sake, Cassid.
He looks down at her tits six times.
Ew.
Wow. Okay.
Yikes.
So,
eyes up.
I must admit that sometimes I do the old boob stare thing by mistake, right? It's like when someone tells you not to itch your mosquito bite and then all you can do is itch it.
Have you seen that video of JoJo Siwa being interviewed by a woman with, like, to be fair, maybe the perkiest rack I've ever seen in my entire life, and it is hanging out. But honestly, it's so funny because you can just see JoJo knowing she's being interviewed and she's just like, it's like saying don't think of pink elephants.
Yeah, exactly.
Bless her heart. She's like looking at the camera, looking at her, then looking at her tits, and instantly you can see her every time being like, don't do it, it's on live TV.
yeah. And you just keep going back to them. They are deceivingly distracting when you're nervous.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that paired with Hugh Grant's awkward guy eye acting means that I might let this first fuckboy move slide. But then again, I've never had big boobs for people to ogle at. And maybe if I did, I'd be a hell of a lot less forgiving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
True.
Okay, fuckboy move number two. Setting. PM meeting with his cabinet. The offence, sexist chit-chat.
Yes.
Who do you have to screw around here to get a cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit?
Which is actually a phenomenal line.
Yeah. And in walks in, what bloody timing that is. Again, it's like the airport all over again. The timing in this film.
Isn't it? England is just full of lucky occurrences.
Yeah.
I mean, truly. On that
perfect setup.
On that, on on the page, that line would be so creepy, but somehow Hugh Grant manages to deliver it in a way that is charming. I don't know what that man is made of, but he could call me a minging hoe and I would still ho-ho him.
A minging hoe. Yeah. Obsessed. That's
I'd
so
still
good.
Ho-ho him. Okay. F-boy move number three. Setting. Interview with the president of the US and the British press.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob bloody Thornton.
I know, right?
Right?
I was quite shocked to see that, actually. I completely forgot.
What a tie-in with our previous episode, Angelina Jolie. Go listen if you haven't already.
Go and listen.
Okay, David's offence. Casual sexism and nearly starting a World War III. So, David gives his rousing patriotic speech to the press after talks with the US president that is both epic, and I'm going to use the word again, charming. However, in the speech, Chamon, he says this. We may be a small country, but we're a great one too. Country of Shakespeare, Churchill, the Beatles, Sean Connery, Harry Potter, David Beckham's right foot, David Beckham's left foot for that matter. Okay, David, what about Jane Austen, Judi Dench, Mallory Blackman? All male, all white, all very short-sighted. They're rather in keeping with what one would expect from the PM. Not only this,
not off-brand.
But this little speech that calls the US a bully could, in the real world, catapult the UK into a full-blown World War III.
Well, I'll have you know, bloody Nora.
And the real reason behind this macho man chest beating is, of course, like all good things, you can trace it back to a woman.
Yeah.
Okay, and this, girls, this outrageous. Is when I want to talk about the real fuckboy of Love Actually. The President of the United States, played by none other than Angie's husband numero dos, Billy Bob Thornton. This guy makes Trump look like Mother Teresa. As he meets Natalie, he's all over her like a leech. Pretty little son of a bitch right there. Did you see those pipes? He asks a very uncomfortable Prime Minister after having met Natalie on the stairs.
Which, that's the only reason you're okay with it at the end, because you're like, oh, Hugh's fine. Yes, she's his secretary. Yes, he got her fired. But have you seen the American guy?
He didn't actually get her fired.
Just got her moved.
Moved on.
So. No, just moved within the job.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Moved somewhere else.
So he then proceeds to come on to her while she's serving tea, and the PM is out of the room. I mean, also, Richard, just give her something more to do than just serve fucking tea.
I know.
Like, we all love a hobnob, but come on, that's just... She's smarter than that. So, this president is the fastest moving fuckboy of the movie.
Oh my God, yeah.
Nothing
I can't believe the turnaround.
Right?
I know.
And I think in GCSE English, we would call this moment of workplace sexual harassment a foreshadowing of what was to come to the White House.
Perhaps.
So, to round up, I would argue that the PM is in fact not a fuckboy, which is confusing because Hugh Grant always seems to play those types of characters. But if you look at the facts, David may be a bit of a bumbling fool, but he chooses not to cross the line in the workplace. He is the opposite of creepy. He does the sensible thing of redistributing Natalie rather than abuse his power. He has impeccable dance moves. He doesn't even bat an eyelid when sexy office lady Mia opens the door to him in a low-cut top whilst he is studiously going door-to-door searching for Natalie. And if any of our PMs had half the charisma that David has, he'd get my vote and I'd gladly go to war.
Yes! Oh, stunning. So you're already taking your fuckboy out of the race. Would you like to replace him with a different one?
Oh, no, I'm replacing him with the President of the United States.
Fair enough.
He's got fuckboy written all over him.
He's your number one contender.
He is, yeah. He's in the ring.
This is Battle of the Fuckboys today, guys. And
yeah, it is, isn't it?
Isn't
far,
it?
Who's going to win?
He's at the top of the race.
So just to finish off this segment, I'd like to do one of my favourite scenes between Natalie and the PM that perfectly sums up his lovesick predicament. Okay, so I'm sorry, guys. I've got to be Hugh Grant. I'm staying in character.
That is fair enough.
Who wants to be Natalie? Who's going to shotgun? Yes! Okay.
Say again.
Action.
Ah, Natalie.
Sir?
Natalie places a plate of chocolate biscuits on the table.
Thanks.
Natalie starts to leave.
Natalie, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about us working in such close proximity every day and me knowing so little about you. It seems elitist and wrong.
Well, there's not much to know.
Well, where do you live, for instance?
Wandsworth, the dodgy end.
Ah, my sister lives in Wandsworth. So which exactly is the dodgy end?
At the end of the high street, Harris Street, near the Queen's Head.
Right, yes, that is dodgy. And you live with your husband, boyfriend, three illegitimate but charming children?
No. I've just split up with my boyfriend, so I'm back with my mum and dad for a while.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm well shot of him. He said I was getting fat.
I beg your pardon?
He said no one's going to fancy a girl with thighs the size of big as tree trunks. Not a nice guy in the end.
Right. Well, you know, being Prime Minister, I could just have him murdered.
Thank you, sir. I'll think about it.
Do. The SAS are absolutely charming. Ruthless, trained killers are just a phone call away.
Natalie smiles, leaves through the door.
Oh, God.
The PM turns to the portrait of Margaret Thatcher.
Did you have this kind of problem? Yeah, of course you did, you saucy minx.
This is my favourite line.
So good. Hugh Grant is a comedy genius.
So good.
He's incredible.
He's so good. Okay, Hannah, who is your fuck boy or fuck girl of Love Actually?
Okay, so my submission to the race here is, you might know him as Mark. You might know him as Andrew Lincoln, or you might just know him as the person who is in love with Keira Knightley in Love Actually.
Yeah.
Generally, how most people refer to him as. We have Mark, the character who used fuckboyery and oversized cue cards to create one of the most famous scenes in a Christmas film of all time.
Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah.
So memeable.
It's so memeable, but oh, it really gives me the ick. He is like the ultimate dweeb in my head.
Does it? Okay, I kind of love it. It makes me cry every time I see it.
Oh God, how? Hanako? No.
Unrequited love. Makes you cry. Yes.
Oh, I'm shocked.
It gives me the ick. It turns my stomach.
If someone did that to me, IRL, I would scream and call the police. But in the movie, in the context of Love Actually, it does something to my soul.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that's because it's also your love, Keira?
Yeah, maybe I can just hard relate.
Well, to give more context, Mark, who is played by Andrew Lincoln, is Peter, Chiwetel Ejiofor's best friend, best man, and very serious photographer of nudes. He is introduced to us in the film, stood next to Peter as his best man, discussing extremely offensively, how the quote-unquote surprise strippers at Peter's bachelor party were a mistake, which doesn't suggest he has much emotional intelligence to begin with. So the arc of his story revolves around his hidden lust for Peter's fiancée come wife, Julia, played by Keira Knightley. He's shady around her and he's rude to her, which results in her spending a lot of her time and energy trying to make Mark not hate her, which is a waste of time. And she even brings him banoffee pie, which he is suspiciously cagey about.
Right?
Flag.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want the banoffee pie?
She says, I have bad taste in pie.
That's not true, baby.
No, you don't, Keira.
Don't put yourself down like
don't
that.
Don't you say that about yourself.
Don't do that to yourself. That's
I think
nice.
Banoffee pie is one of the kings and queens of the pie world.
I agree.
Also, just not even in the pie bracket.
Yeah.
It's not a pie. It's a dessert. It's a delectable dessert.
So, all is revealed when Julia watches Mark's personal recording of her wedding day, which consists of shots of only her, often in extreme close-up. You haven't even got a full face in there.
Hard relate. I can relate to this, guys. That's me.
No. Because she's not saying anything. She's just being a pretty face over and over again. And my mind,
also, what's he
going to
do with it?
I'm that creep behind the camcorder.
Just keep it? Watch it?
No, I'm sorry.
I hate it.
It screams unhinged stalker. But naturally and problematically, this film, because it's a noughties nightmare, just romanticises it. To which she responds, but you never talk to me. You always talk to Peter. You don't like me. And then after some panicking and arm flapping, he says, it's a self-preservation thing, you see. And then he runs out into the street having a very public strop and nearly scares an old man half to death.
And Dido's paying in the background. My tears gone cold, I'm wondering why.
Dido, what a queen.
I'm gonna scream and squat.
I'm gonna scream and squat.
It's so weird. It's like a little, like, it's like he starts breakdancing.
Oh my God, I love that moment. I hard relate.
It makes me laugh out loud whenever I watch it because it's, what a bold choice.
It's so good. And it also feels like it's one of those shots where it's been shot in a public place and the guy that's walking past doesn't know that he's in a movie.
It's so great. It's charmingly British, actually. That man.
Yeah.
It makes that, he's my favourite cameo of the whole film. Basically, it paints him as like, what, being too scared to be honest about his feelings, so he's just incredibly rude to Keira Knightley. Like,
yeah, that's horrible.
Grow up. This is not the playground. You don't like tease people in order to make them think that you fancy them.
Yeah.
It's not where we are.
So classic though.
No.
Very typical. But anyway, I also must say, I think it's a really interesting scene to look at in the light of like 2021, almost like comically blatant example of the male gaze in cinema. His lust, literally framing her in a silent montage of bashful looks and coy smiles. He's just cropping her and editing her and visually assembling her into this object of desire. When realistically, if they had a chat, I'm almost certain he would have instantly got the ick and just like knocked her off a pedestal. Probably just by talking, because it's like clearly not to his taste anyway. He doesn't really like her once she starts opening her mouth. It's awful. So here's my submission. And first of all, I'd say that he's a man-child, obviously. Second of all, his rap sheet. Surprise sex workers, absolute no. Second of all, secretly being in love with his best friend's wife and then the wedding come wank tape debacle. Being rude to Julia because he's too emotionally stunted to say his true feelings. And the whole cue card catastrophe ending in literal cheating and best friend betrayal. I think he's the worst fuck boy.
Interesting.
Prove me wrong, Kath.
So I am obviously bringing to the table, in my opinion, the worst fuckboy of them all, Mr. Alan Rickman. And we're going to get into this just after this little break. So, gals, I'm bringing you your classic love story, tale as old as time. It is boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love, boy meets another girl at work, and boy breaks wife's heart. Oh. It is obviously the iconic Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson marriage, that fucking incredible scene where she gets the Joni Mitchell CD, the gold necklace. God, I mean, we all know the finale, but the road that leads us there is quite a rogue one. I won't lie to you.
Ooh.
I've sent you a little scene.
Ooh.
And it comes after there is some back and forth flirting going on between Alan Rickman, aka Harry,
Hazza,
and Heike, I think her name is Makach, who plays Mia. So this is like flirting happening about the Christmas party that's happening in that year. And she says to him, it's an art gallery full of dark corners for doing dark deeds.
She's,
and then we have that moment where
she opens
her legs in a fucking suit material bra skirt on a wheelie fucking chair.
I will say, the bit where she opens her legs, I did this time think, it's not that fit.
It's not fit.
She just looks uncomfortable.
Oh, I found it quite hot, guys.
I was watching it thinking, is this only hot to teenage boys? But apparently not.
No.
I'm basically a teenage boy.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like she just looks quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, oh, do I really, really have to do this?
I think she owns it.
No, it's not that she doesn't. I don't know what it is. It looks like an uncomfortable position, maybe.
Yes. It's like the chair is very upright. She's not slouches down in this very upright chair and it makes her look a little bit like, I don't know, like young lady with her dinner on her lap.
It's the kind of position I would take if I had a wedgie and I was trying to subtly sort it out.
Yes, get rid of it. Yeah. It is a bit awkward.
Maybe that's what she was doing all along.
Yeah, yeah. And Richard Curtis is just like, this is it. This is the moment.
Stunning.
So we arrive at the office party. The office party obviously belongs to the artist that, Hannah, you are bringing to the table for your fuckboy.
So I must say that it's the art gallery that he works for. He's not actually the artist.
Yeah. So he just works there.
He's not actually the photographer.
He's just the curator.
Because I remember seeing that the photographer was a Japanese woman, which is classic.
Let's put her in the film.
Like edgy black and white photography. Yeah, yeah. She's probably Japanese.
No. So who wants to take Mia and who wants to take Alan in this scene from the party that his wife is at?
Who's got a better Snape impression? That's the question.
I'll do Mia. You do okay. Alan.
God. All right, this will probably be embarrassing.
Obviously.
Is this going to be embarrassing? Obviously.
And action.
Any chance of a dance with the boss?
Yeah, sure. As long as your boyfriend doesn't mind.
Not my boyfriend.
They dance.
You're looking very pretty tonight.
It's for you.
Sorry?
It's all for you, sir.
Ah! Damn!
Wild.
She's definitely into the kink of him being her boss.
She's never worked as a fucking secretary for a day in her goddamn life. She is just there to get her rocks off, and I am here for it.
Yeah. Do you see her eyes when Hugh Grant comes to her door? She's like, fuck you, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Also, she just doesn't blink. I don't think there's a single shot of her blinking.
Yeah, that's so true.
Okay. I'm a bit in your camp, Hanako, I don't know if she is a worse fuck girl than he is a fuck boy. Because partly he's just so like a little dog on a collar.
Mm.
And we have this final scene at the end between him and his wife, who's played by Emma Thompson.
I think this might be one of the most moving scenes in cinematic history. For me, I've never been moved like the first time I saw this scene. It's so
the one at
so
the end
well
or the one where she cries?
The one where she cries, but I think that
one,
the one line that she has in this scene that just
yeah.
And the way that afterwards she just goes straight to her children.
Yeah.
I know.
Fucking hell. It just feels so real.
Yeah. And when the person walks through in the middle.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she's have a lovely evening.
Oh, God.
Do you want to do it with me, Hannah?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do?
Action.
Tell me, if you were in my position, what would you do?
What position is that?
Imagine your husband bought a gold necklace and come Christmas gave it to somebody else.
Oh, Karen.
Would you wait around to find out if it's just a necklace? Or if it's sex in a necklace? Or if it's worst of all, a necklace and love? Would you stay knowing life would always be a little bit worse? Or would you cut and run?
Oh God, I am so in the wrong. A classic fool.
Yes, but you've also made a fool out of me. You've made the life I lead foolish too. And then she turns around, doesn't she? And she goes,
You were
brilliant. You were absolutely brilliant.
Best lobsters. But you also made a fool out of me. You made the life
the
I lead foolish too.
Foolish too. The thing that is so sad is the joy in her eyes as she goes, she takes the present out and she goes, thank you. This is a real first.
Yeah.
About the present. And if she hadn't seen the necklace, would a Joni Mitchell CD have been this beautiful thing of I heard you when you said that this woman, you love Joni Mitchell.
And the irony of him saying so you can continue your emotional education. She is not the one that needs to continue her emotional education, honey.
I know.
It's all round her character is so good throughout. She's so kind and understanding and there for several people. She is like the woman's plight personified.
Yeah.
And her treatment is just so horrific. It's also, I do find myself weirdly apologising for him and being like, if I had someone, a young woman throwing themselves at me, it really makes me want to do that classic, like, she's a homewrecker and he's, like, how could he resist? But actually, no.
I know.
Well, the key thing is that Mia is single.
Yeah, she's single. Yeah. She doesn't owe anyone anything.
So I think there's one moment where it goes from where he becomes a fuckboy in a second. And that's when he's leaving the office and she goes,
yeah,
are you going to buy me a present?
Yeah, and then he calls her later.
And then he fucking calls her. Mm-hmm. And that is the moment.
He says, well, are you going to get me something?
Yeah.
And you can have whatever. Did she say you can have
whatever you... Yeah, something.
No, he was like...
I've told you. What did he say?
No, okay, I've got it here because I was like, this is so dreadful. So he calls her and says, so are you going to give me something? And she says, I thought I made it clear last night. When it comes to me, you can have everything. So what do you need? Something along the stationery line? Short of staplers? No, I don't want something I need. I want something I want. Something pretty.
Pretty. And he does. Rowan Atkinson in that scene.
Rowan Atkinson. Okay, I made a list of everything that he put in the fucking necklace package. Okay. Yes. Are you flipping ready, girls? He pops it in a box. Then he gets some gold ribbon, ties it with some gold ribbon. Then he puts it in a bag that isn't a bag, that is so much more than a bag. Then he scoops rose petals in to the bag. And then he puts sprigs of lavender in the bag. Naturally. On top of that. And then he gets a cinnamon stick out, puts that in the bag.
Oh, yeah. Well, then he gets... Like, what the bloody hell is that?
My favourite bit is when he gets the lavender and he, like, siphons it off and then he folds it up between his hands like he's, like, doing a flying bird or something and then sniffs
it's
his hands.
So good.
It's
genius.
So good.
Then he gets some twine and ties the bag with the twine. Then he gets the Christmas box, pops it in the
Christmas box. But you said
Then he snaps on his yellow gloves for the holly sprigs, and God knows where else it would have gone.
And lo and behold, he nearly gets caught cheating. So GTG.
I'm going to put them both in the running for
fuckboy
of the show.
I feel like truly there are some big ones in the mix now, but... Surely we need some honourable... Before we decide, we need some honourable mentions.
We need some honourable mentions.
Of which he's truly one of them. Okay, so obviously we can't progress without quickly doing a couple of dishonourable mentions. We've already covered our top fuck girl. Naturally, we have to talk about Colin.
Oh, love Colin!
He is actually... if you look up fuckboy in the dictionary, there's a picture of him.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's a man-child.
He wishes.
He wishes. He is a man-child who decides to move to America because he's having no luck getting his end away in the UK. Quote, I am Colin, god of sex. I am just on the wrong continent. That's all. Unfortunately, the lesson taught by this film is that he's actually right. And he manages to have a foursome on his first night across the pond, only to then bring back a total 10 girlfriend just after Christmas. The American dream come true, am I right?
I love that scene in the bar. It's just so outrageous. Good. It's so fantastic. January Jones is in the mix.
Another
pre-Mad Men. Ugh.
So what I do have to say about this scene, Alicia Cuthbert, 100% my sexual awakening in The Girl Next Door.
Really?
Yeah.
Love that for you. Have you got a dishonorable mention there, Kath?
Also, can I just say about Colin, we've got to do, and he's got a big knob.
So good.
Maybe just like strange mention is the fact that Colin Firth asked someone to marry him that he's never had a conversation with.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is he a fuckboy? I don't know if fuckboy.
No, see, I started going into Jamie, Colin Firth's character, and I quickly decided that he is quite the opposite of a fuckboy. First of all, he is cuckolded in the opening scene of the movie.
Who, hold,
he's
hold
a soft
that
boy,
thought.
Isn't he?
He's definitely a dishonourable mention.
Oh, the brother a disappointment. He's, what a fuck boy.
To sleep and his wife. With your brother's wife, that is.
What does she say? She says,
hurry up, big boy, I'm naked and I want you at least twice before Jamie gets home.
Yes! Go on, gal, pop off with that.
That was actually such a good impression of her.
Yeah.
I do have a written down.
Him and Aurelia are so cute.
Aurelia is my favourite character, second to Emma Thompson's, because she's so funny and cutting.
Can I tell you a fun fact?
Yeah, please. Yes.
So my friend growing up had two little siblings and they had a nanny and her name was Aurelia and she used to be Richard Curtis's nanny and she was from Portugal and that is who the character was named after.
No way. Yeah.
Oh, I love that for
her. That's amazing.
She was like, you better put me in a film. And then he did.
Oh my God. And she was represented so bloody well because she's a great character.
I used to work for a company called One Fine Stay, which is like a posh Airbnb. And I used to go around and like let people into these like beautiful houses. And one of them was Richard Curtis's flat on Notting Hill.
Oh my God.
In Portobello Market. And I just remember like walking around his flat and being like, fucking hell, this is Richard Curtis's place. Oh my God. So cool.
Mad.
Amazing.
Mad.
I wonder who else all the other characters were based on. I wonder who, another dishonourable mention, Billy Mack,
such a fuckboy.
Played by Bill Knight.
Incredible.
Such a fuckboy. The washed up rock and roll legend, he's a classic Mr. Narcissist, isn't he?
Yeah.
I wonder who
tortured artist.
And tortured artist.
Of course. So we see him record his number one Christmas hit with a host of scantily clad sexy Santas.
So funny.
But he does end the film learning to love through passing up a star-studded party with Elton John to spend the countdown with his best friend and manager getting drunk and obviously watching porn.
I mean, is that the so love gross, story that line. Of the film?
Maybe. It's so gross when he's like, let's get pissed and watch porn.
I'm also like, so I wanted you to kiss. Like, I really thought they were maybe in love with each other.
Yeah. That would have been nice. My favourite thing that he does, though, is, you know, when he gets it, the lyrics wrong at the beginning and he goes, fuck, wank, bugger, stinking arse head and hole.
I know, it's absolutely amazing.
So good.
I wonder if that was ad-libbed or that was in the script. It's almost too good to not be ad-libbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get Bill Nye and then be like,
stinking arse head and hole. So, it's probably about time that we crown our fuck boy of Love Actually. What do you think? Just after this.
So I have another little competition for you before we round up the big one, which is the fuck boy of the film. Mm-hmm. It's the gag of the film.
The gag of the film!
There are so many good gags in this film.
Yes.
So I've got a few and you can choose between which one you think is your favourite. First, the animals in the nativity play. The octopus, the lobster. Just
so good.
Hilarious. So good. Then all of the things that are written on the chalkboard on the little kid's bedroom door. So we have the first one is like, don't come in. Then we have like, for the last time, I'm not hungry. And then my favourite one of the entire film, it just says rhythm is life
and then Ringo rules is
Ringo
on there.
Rules
Ringo rules, oh they just crack me
so
up
so good.
Obviously we've got Little Pricks on an and Deck TV show.
Oh my God, he writes and it on Deck's blue cameo is so funny.
And or deck
and then my personal favourite is when Hugh Grant is going door to door and the little girls are like, sing us a song.
That is my favourite gag of the movie.
His bodyguard starts.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the eve of Stephen.
And Hugh Grant's little face going, so shocked.
So might shocked. Be my favourite cinematic moment.
It's so incredible. Good.
It's but so good.
Quite a good writer, that Richard Curtis. So who is in the running, guys?
Okay, so in the ring behind Hanako, we have the President of the United States who sexually harasses the lovely Natalie and is an all-round bad bloke and
bad
fucks
vibes.
Democracy and fucks wherever he can.
In my corner, we have Mark. We have him there for his surprise sex workers, for being in love with his best mate, for doing a really creepy wank tape of his best mate's fiance, for doing this weird little cue card catastrophe and then snogging his best mate's wife, and also for the fact that he is 30 and she is 17.
Right, behind me in the ring, I've made my decision. We have Mia.
Mia!
Purely for the single moment where while his wife is in the room, she whispers into her very own boss's ear,
"It's all for you, sir."
Oh!
And purely for that, she's in the running.
I'm gonna kick off and say that was the left hook that fucking slam dunked me and knocked me out. She is the ultimate fuck person of this film, I think.
She is.
Oh my God, do you think?
She's the devil. She's a little minx. She's literally
she's
the devil.
Dressed she's dressed as the devil.
It's not a costume
party.
But
I don't mean it in such a like damning way. I think she just is.
I love it.
And you're like, go on, girl. You can be. You're single.
Okay. I must say, the president, though,
oh,
he
God, yeah,
is pure fuckboy.
He wins
boy.
For me. He wins yeah. for me.
You're right.
He just it. Is. He pips it to the post. Mm.
Do you know what? Weirdly, as soon as you started talking about Mia, I just completely forgot the president existed. It's so strange yeah.
oh,
that happens.
So weird.
Such a strange
that is random.
Like your Alan Rickman in Love Actually.
Yeah. And I can't be
that
helped.
Is what we say to you. You're so like Alan Rickman in Love Actually.
Constantly.
Oh, R.I.P. Alan Rickman. We love you.
R.I.P.
God bless
we love
you,
you so
are.
Much.
We love you so much.
Okay, so he takes the crown.
He takes
I
it.
I think he does.
Obviously, we're going to put this on social media and you guys have to let us know.
You have to vote.
Who you think?
We'll put a vote.
Yes, please.
Who takes the crown?
Okay, guys, we cannot end this episode without playing Shag, Marry, Avoid Love Actually round. So, Shag, Marry, Avoid. Colin. Rowan Atkinson. Aurelia's father.
Obviously, Shag Colin.
And he's got Mary. A big knob.
Yeah, because he's got a big knob. Mary Rowan, imagine the attention
the
to detail.
So, yeah. Truly.
And then avoid Aurelia's fat-shaming father, I think.
Yeah, that's the only way you can go.
Shag, Mary, avoid Emma Thompson, Mia, and Aurelia.
Oof. Marry Emma.
Of course.
Shag Mia. Avoid Aurelia. Only because I think Mia would be a fantastic shag.
Yeah, true.
And I think if I shagged Aurelia, I'd probably want to be with her. But I'm already with Emma, so I don't want to complicate things.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a Snape, so yeah.
There would be a Snape yeah. Snape in the grass.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so shag, marry, avoid. Mia. The pick me guy with the little cards, or the American president.
So Keira Knightley's love interest.
Keira Knightley's the one who loves her.
Oh God, that's impossible.
I know because
I don't want to marry any of them.
I'd marry Mia,
but she doesn't. She go and cheat on you.
Yeah, that's you know what.
Fine.
That's the way of the world.
Maybe you'd okay. Just be in an open relationship with Mia.
Yeah, I would resentfully. Shag that dweeb Mark. And then I would avoid the American president.
I think I'd shag the American president.
Would you?
I think I might shag the American president as well.
Oh, no, but it'd be like having sex with a leech, I imagine.
Yeah, but I think it would be done and over quite yeah. quickly.
It'd be like having sex with a leech that cries afterwards, I imagine. A decent
yeah,
amount of weeping.
And I think they would just be out of your life as soon as it was done. Whereas with... Keira Knightley's love interest.
Oh, he'd hang
he
out.
Would he'd stalk you for the rest of your life.
Oh God, that's so true. But imagine what your wedding date would look like. You'd have a sick wedding date.
So true.
You wouldn't have to pay for a photographer or anything.
Fuck, Hannah, that's so true.
You're saving a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Okay, well, point. I'll avoid him, but then I'll call him up on my wedding day and get him down with his camcorder and pay the price.
Yeah, fair's fair. It's just one panoffee pie and the rest of your life's privacy.
Exactly.
So, I asked for your Christmas party stories, as naturally we all know that's where people descend into utter carnage. And the first one we received was this. Last Christmas, my co-worker, who was meant to be my designated driver, ended up getting really smashed, quote-unquote, by accident. He did a number of terrible things, including forcing everyone to listen to him sing karaoke and shouting at anyone who spoke throughout.
Been there.
Obviously. Hanako, it's very on brand for you. He also kept making the CEO's wife sit with him and talk him down from his fear of dying from alcohol poisoning. But it came to a head when he played the white elephant present exchange game, and when someone stole his pile, he resentfully threw up all over the presents. He did get to keep them all. Also, somehow, he managed to get a huge promotion last month, so what happens at Christmas parties stays at Christmas parties.
Oh, he must be.
God.
He must be a really good employee.
Really fucking good at his job.
Yeah. Okay, imagine waking up, the anxiety you'd have. You'd hope you blacked out.
I threw a Christmas party the other night. The other night? Oh, I'm calling it Scottish.
The other night.
And I don't think anyone got out of hand.
It's office Christmas parties.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It is. You're right.
It's people lose their goddamn minds when there's an open bar and a festive spirit.
Yeah. And a work crush in the same room as you.
Yeah.
Speaking of work crushes, Kate... Winslet in The Holiday.
Oh, that also breaks my heart.
He is the ultimate fuckboy.
Oh, he Jasper. Is. He is.
Jasper. Of course he is with that kind of name.
Hey, I know. We're coming for him.
He sounds like
a posh Springer Spaniel.
So that is the end of this episode, and Merry Christmas, all you saucy little minxes.
And here is an important message from your aunties Hanako,
Kath,
and Hannah.
Don't buy drugs, kids. Become a rock star and they give them to you for free!
Hey! Links for all our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the turtleneck-wearing fuckboys of Love Actually to the fur-cladded fuckgirls of the Christmas movie Carol.
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you are listening.
And if you have your very own fuckboy or fuckgirl story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, you can find even more fuckboy on Instagram or Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So... watch out, Therese and Carol.
We're coming for you.
We are coming for you.
We are. Merry